Bro, I feel so old. God damn it. How are you, Sean?
I am good. We rolling? We rolling right now?
Oh wait, we always rolling. You know,
okay, all right. I'm rolling and recording. Yeah. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Yeah, man. I'm inspired by a lot of different things at the moment.
Hmm. How does the I know. Damn, when was the last time we fucking talked, yo? So like, a few months ago now, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like the yeah. I could take a look real quick right here, but it has definitely been a moment. Last time we did this was like literally 3 months ago, almost.
Yeah, bro. It's like it feels like it's going so fast because I'm on 6 days, 6.5 days even.
I can imagine. It's just, man. Like,
I'm just trying to cram everything because, like, I'm trying to. Well, not trying to. I will open my spot very soon, right? But it's taking even more now because now I'm looking for spots, mm-hmm. and I believe I mentioned this to you already. And I want to be in the Hackensack area, but nobody. I don't want to say anybody, but it's just like it's difficult to find the little mom and pop shop that is closed or whatever, and to find the information. You can find like the commercial stuff easy. That's you
sure. just go
online and you fucking is right there. But it's like the little corners. I have to stop at every time. And then when I do stop, I call. Nobody picks up. Whatever. You leave many messages. Yeah, that's the thing. And then you know the ramen on Mondays and doing marketing and stuff. And it's a lot. I just wish I had the one job instead of like two.
Right. Do you think you would be better served by, I don't know, bringing in someone off the bench to kind of like handle the running around for you? I was talking to V. Oh, the only reason why I mentioned this is because, like, you know, V's got like her little side business. And as it's starting to pick up, she's starting to realize that, like, you know, she might be better served by bringing in someone else to kind of do some of the, just to do a little bit of the, like, you know, the leg work running around and handling things.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, to pursue those opportunities.
We have a realtor. I have a realtor buddy now that I'm working with. So he's taking some of the brunt of looking for spots. Mm-hmm. So that definitely lifted up everything quite a bit from like a couple weeks ago. Cause like literally today from like, I want to say eight till I want to say three, I'm just riding around, bro. I'm just like, oh, that's a spot. I'll turn, I park, I go over, I click the call, whatever I have to do to get the spot. And it's not bearing any fruit at the moment. The reason I want to be in Hackensack so bad is because if you've passed by there recently, maybe you haven't in a while, Sean, on Riverside, you know where White Manna is? Mm-hmm. So you make a right instead of making a left to White Manna. Yeah. There's like seven apartment complexes going up. Seven.
Sure.
Huge. The potential of we always have to play the long game. We call this in the restaurant, right? If I can just be in there before everything right. goes, I'm set for like the next 20, 30 years, pretty much.
I mean, yeah, you'll be a staple for the community, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do. I mean, Weatherford's cool. Don't get me wrong. That's where I'm in right now. But there's no, I don't want to say there's no buildings, but there isn't that influx of, I don't want to say new people either, but it's like Hackensack is such a crazy potential with the newcomers coming in or youngins.
sure. Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it right there. I mean, yeah, those apartment buildings are going to draw, you know, younger folks who are probably more inclined to like order out and deliver in, right? You know, it's gonna, you know, be willing to spend a little bit more for some quality casual food. And like I said, the White Manna, right? Like just a fixture of that area. Ramen.
Exactly.
But ramen. Right.
And I mean, so it's been a minute since we spoke. Sean, I got my first, I don't want to say violation, but I got my first can't serve. Cause this is like they needed to inspect me first, which took them a long time. I'm like, bro, it took you like forever. I got it, and I went through all the prompts. Now they've come and assessed. They're like, "Oh, you're operating out of a kitchen." I was like, "Yeah, little, you know me,
right?" I'm the dude who's here on Tuesday, right? I'm literally also here on Wednesday and Thursday. That's me.
As fast as that stamp goes, you're postponed for a little bit. It went just as quickly back up because okay. You know they figured out I'm also the chef in there. I was like, yeah, I mean, how many times have you seen me? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's I'm the same dude in here. But anyway, there's that. Been doing pop-ups, and just I'm lacking sleep, Sean. This is this is a different case when we were both in corporate together. When we say we're lacking sleep because of work. Now I'm lacking sleep because I'm trying to make my thing work. So completely different, fulfilling thing that I'm trying to get going. And I just can't wait to finally get it, because the space will be pretty cool, in my opinion. Very aesthetically pleasing. I bought bowls, Sean. I'm shopping for bowls, like ramen bowls. And there's no greater joy right now. Browsing through plateware, and I'm getting so excited on the chinaware that I'm about to get. So little stupid shit like that, it just makes this all the better. If you don't have your own little business, I really highly suggest you do get it, but obviously have a plan, but expect the tiredness to just.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, right? Cause like, you know, you're the means of production, the means of promotion, you know, it all hinders and hinges on like the energy and resources you can give to it. And like you mentioned before, it's not the only thing you do, right? So like you still need to be present and accountable and responsible for your other, you know, business endeavors. So you can kind of prop this up and, you know, get the momentum going. But yeah, man, it's funny that you mentioned like going out and getting the bowls, and like, you know, they seem like small things in, you know, in the journey, but they're like major steps, right? Like,
yeah man,
I remember when like these like stickers came in, you know, just these sticker appliques that like she can put on like the garment bags as they go out, and like how much that. Even though like the business is like up and running, how much that like those little things like legitimize the place. So yeah, man, shout out to you and the bowls. You definitely need to have some like founders edition bowls. I need an autographed bowl.
And the plan is, I think I'll share with you guys like how it's going to be aesthetically in the shop, right? So I want an izakaya style ramen shop, which is like there's like a little bar there, and I serve you the bowl myself. Literally, the kitchen is right behind you. You can see me do all the motions, and I'm literally serving you the bowl. That's what I want. That's what the experience I'm catering for. I want about 12 seats in there, 12 to 15 seats. And for those 12 to 15 seats, I have 30 one-off curated bowls of ramen that I've purchased to give you a one-off experience. Because like, in my opinion, when you're getting the bowl is cool. Like, I'm like, oh, look at this bowl, you know, I guess in my brain, that's how I think. And then I eat the food and then I'm usually disappointed because it's not my ramen. But so let's say the ramen's great. It's bomb. And then you're curated with this one off bowl. And then you look around and you're like, oh, shit, they have a different bowl. That's cool as shit. I want that aesthetic inside. And then very cyberpunk-y on the inside with neons and shit. Everywhere, literally. That's what's gonna illuminate the place, is just neons. And that is it. And I'm performing the stuff, I'm conversating. I'm probably have like one or two people there. I still want it to go business, like quite heavily. So I'm just gonna have one person to do the to go. I'm gonna be curated for just the inside. Obviously, I'll help out everywhere because it's my shop. And then one other person to do the oil, Sean. Just the fucking the production and the shipping of this oil. Yeah. Just that. And I think we're good. There's no front of house. There's no dishwasher. We're all going to do it all together. So the three of us will be essentially That's it. That's the three company on the Bulls. So that's the goal. I will get it eventually. And highly, highly aesthetic on the inside of that ramen shop. And specifically for ramen, no, like, you know how there's sushi spots and they serve ramen? Or there's like an all-you-can-eat buffet shit and there's ramen? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's,
yeah,
that's nothing.
Something's being sacrificed, right? Like you're trading on something. It's probably quantity over quality, or you know, you're just trying to hit too big of a target. So something's gonna be sacrificed.
In the you know, experience. There's a space in. Oh, let me switch the other one. There's a space in Hackensack. You know where the Home Depot is?
Yes.
Just down the street. Okay. So there's a space in there and there's an all you can eat. I want to say what you call that. Like it's like a sushi joint slash, but it's a ramen joint. Right. So I called the realtor. I was like, hey, you know, I'm trying to open up shop. I saw that you have a space in the same little mini mall area. How much is it? Blah, blah. We went through the prompts. $3,200. That's just this rent with utilities, probably like $3,600. Okay. I was like, all right, doable. And he's like, what kind of business are you? I was like, I'm a ramen shop. He's like, I don't know if it's gonna work. I was like, why? He was like, there's a sushi joint two stores away from you and they serve ramen.
Right.
I was like, yeah, but it's not ramen that they're serving. Like it's like packet stuff and they put it in broth. Like it felt like there was nothing speaking to him about it. Like changing his mind, there's already a dedicated space there,
right?
But Sean, like, let's put it in perspective, like, how many Italian restaurants are in New Jersey at every corner, side to side together? Just Italian restaurants, right? And they're all different, everybody's all cool with that. Why can't that be the same thing for ramen or even pizza joints? How many fucking pizza joints are around the block everywhere?
Yeah,
almost like across from each other, whatever the fuck it is, right? Same shit, but why are they allowed to do that? You know,
I mean, I think there's a lot to consider there, right? Like, yeah, like I'd want to know for sure, like, what's the foot traffic to that place just in general, right? Like how much of their business is ramen? Like, because you're going to kind of, if you were to operate right next door, you would cannibalize some of that foot traffic, right? Mm-hmm. Like. And yeah, you know, if your offering is significantly better, and there's no way that it wouldn't be, you know, you'd have an opportunity to kind of like, you know, eat more into their traffic, at least for those offerings. But I guess, like, you know, you could be limited by those factors in general. So I could see why they wouldn't tell you specifically, like, hey, man, there's already a spot that does this, like. Right. I don't know, like when I'm thinking, because you are right, like when you're thinking of like New Jersey and like food offerings, right, there's Italian spots like of all prices and varieties, right? But like the larger market is gonna like cater, is already kind of like it already caters to that. But like when you think of like, all right, I'm going to be like inside this thing, I'm not freestanding, I'm inside, and there's also another place that does something similar to an audience that thus far that isn't discerning enough to go, yeah, this is just packet ramen. Like I want more. It's like, do you want your business to kind of be competing with the customer that already, I don't know, doesn't expect enough?
Yeah, I guess. Or like, I mean, it almost feels like it's like a supplement, you know? Mm. The sushi wasn't, okay, look, I'm not trying to trash talk this place. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, no, they're doing their thing.
The devil's advocate on both sides. What if their sushi wasn't enough? So they're offering a supplement to get you in the door, per se. Like little gimmicky things, right? Like if I were to do it, I'd put like Wagyu on my fucking ramen, which I will never fucking do. I'm telling you right now, it's such a waste. Something like that, the same thing in the same manner. Or if I did like fried chicken sandwiches for some fucking reason, right? My version,
sure,
Asian ramen, whatever the fuck it is, right? To get people in the door. And then all of a sudden there's a chicken shop opening. I was like, hey man, they can't do that. I serve chicken sandwiches.
Right.
So like then what is the conversation? Like, not really. You're doing ramen, but you're offering a chicken sandwich. But look, I get it. I understand it. So we passed up on it. That's what it is. The guy seemed really stern on the phone. Yeah. I was like, look, there's nothing changing you. That's okay. If for some reason they decide to say yes, I'm saying the competition, and you feel like you need somebody in there, you'll have my contact. Literally, I will email you every week, and I have been emailing every week.
Right.
I'll be more than happy to go right in there. And, you know, it is what it is. There's a few more spots everywhere. I'm just trying to find, Sean, I want like 1,000 square feet-ish.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't sound big, but like if you put an office, like 200 square foot, just for the office, that's like your shelves, whatever the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. Also, all this stuff, you know, because it will, my shop will turn into like a marketing thing too, where I do all my videos and shit there. Now I'm left over with 800 square feet. Let's put a bathroom in there, like another 10 square foot, right? Just one, whatever the fuck it is. Now 700 square feet is what we're talking about. Just a little bar thing, seats. That's all I need. Essentially, that's all I need. But it's proving to be a difficult find. Everything is like 1,400 and up. Like, Sean, what the fuck am I going to do with almost 1,000 square feet? Like, what? There's...
Yeah.
Well, $600 just for the square footage, you know, because I mean, nah, that's silly.
You already know you gotta listen to your competitors. You need to also sell sushi. that's the only way you're gonna fill the rest of that space.
Can you imagine? You know? Like, nah, that's man, it. We're also doing sushi. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
bring in a sushi
we'll
chef.
Do burgers too, like, while we're at it.
Yeah, do burgers, bring in a sushi chef, and blow your labor real quick.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Real quick.
I also want to model it. I was having a conversation with one of the chefs. He was like, why are you, I forgot how he said the question. It's like, why not go into like a slightly bigger space? That way you have the location already and then just hire more workers. I was like, okay, I need to be able to do it myself when it's slow. We all know this as chefs, right? When it's slow, we start cutting people. Can you do the same motion just by yourself to save the labor? And I can guarantee you most people will say no, because the stations are too far apart. They can't execute within their small little space. Then what happens? Customer right. suffers, your guest experience suffers. And then it's like a no bueno altogether. I want the space curated so I can do it myself. Literally one person can do it. Whoever it is, it doesn't necessarily be me.
Yeah.
Can function to serve and to do whatever themselves in that little limited space, however that is. So that's what I answered him with. And he was like, interesting. That does make sense. But like, there's a 2,000 square foot thing.
Right. Yeah. But we also have this, you know, this property that you could grow and expand into.
Yeah, well, no, we're not doing it. It just sounds crazy.
You already know you need to do sushi in some of that space. You need to have a gift shop where you're selling Founders Edition bowls.
Oh, shit, a gift shop. I didn't even consider that. Oh, fuck. Right. Yeah, yeah, you know? Merch. Yep. Mm-hmm. In the front. Yeah.
You're going to have space that you can rent out to other content creators so they can also do, you know.
Oh,
yeah. See, there you go. And now you've usurped all 2,000.
I mean, that is the feels, though. I do want to do that, Sean. How do you feel about that? Like, so... I really want to do this four day work week for my ramen shop. Obviously, it's not gonna happen overnight. I need to be open at least 5 days for the time being, just so I can recoup some of the losses that I'm going to open to. I should really speak to like somebody that does loans. Like how much interest does it accrue, or whatever? I think I'm gonna need like $60,000-$70,000. To borrow from somebody, I don't know who. What does that translate into a monthly kind of thing? The hoods in itself, I think it's going to cost me like 15, 20 grand just to fucking buy it and lift it. Just right. hoods. Just
sure.
fucking hoods. All the equipment, I already priced it out. I think it's going to cost me roughly $11,000 to $13,000. And these are all like pre-owned, or I should say new. If I can get them pre-owned, I'll get them pre-owned. I don't give a fuck. They last forever. It is what it is, you know? So that can be a little less. And then all the other equipment, I'll give me like another buffer, I don't know, $5,000 or $6,000 or some shit. So we're all in, I want to say 50. And then I'm going to give me a buffer of like another 10 or 20 grand just in case. I don't know, like the sewer needs to be moved or some shit, or I don't know, the hood fell or some fuck. I don't know, you know, something like that. That would suck actually. If
that. Yeah. Yeah. Look, yes, that would be devastating if you needed to deal with that. You know, you also build into your buffer, some real slack space for maintenance issues, because like, you know, for sure that like you need to be able to like, you know, make a move so immediately. Right. It's like, hey guys, no broth today because these burners are out. So it'll be just ramen gazpacho. Just room temperature, pork broth for everybody. Mm. Wow. But yeah, real things to consider. Real things to consider. But it seems like you have framed out the vision, and you know, next steps are just to execute.
That's the tougher part of all this, because we can all dream, right? I think I want to say the word for it, and then but to execute said dream is like the even harder part of the two, because once money is, I don't want to say money is involved, once exponentially more money is involved, I guess that's what makes it or breaks it, you know. I guess
I mean literally that's it. Right? Like, it's like, it's those resources that, I mean, you can potentially make more money, but, you know, it's just, you know, money and time, right? Money and time. And, you know, that's what you'll be spending. But again, I see it for you. Like, I see it. Like, I see, you know, rolling into a spot in the Hackensack area and like, knowing this is like, Casey's original spot, and we're gonna check out the second one, the third one.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I do maybe, like
maybe two, John, just two.
Okay, you know, I'm dreaming. Two. I'm dreaming big. I'm gonna scale it down. You know what I'm saying? But I see it. Like, I really do see it for you, and you know, part of it is just, you know, just getting there. Like, nothing is promised, but like, you got a good plan. You got a good shot. And you just hope that, you know, opportunity and circumstance falls in your favor. But I see it. Like, I do see it. Like, I like the idea of, like, an izakaya, like, small shop, especially as, like, a business that's, like, starting out. And is especially as, like, I don't want to play you up too hard, my brother. But, like, you know, you're a good-looking guy. You know your product. Like, people are going to connect to you. Right. And you already see it already through like your other like social media presence is like people connect to you. And if they can connect to you and, you know, they get to enjoy your food and see you like producing it, like that's what like, you know, builds the brand. And especially like you said, like if you get into a community on the rise, like you got the opportunity to kind of like be that person and be that experience, like, you know, for generations. And again, I already know, like I've had the food, I've worked with you, I know that like you're gonna give it, you know, give it your all. But I think like especially in like that small experience, like people will be like, oh no, that's Chef Casey, this is why we come here.
Yeah,
you know, even when we take it out, like we know that, like, you know, his hands, his guidance, like help make this experience. And you know, and when they come back, they'll be looking to you and seeing you there, or whomever you've deemed is like, you know, your avatar for that experience going forward. But I think that that's like really, really important. So I see it.
Yeah. That's why, like, I appreciate, like, you understood it, you know, and I hopefully, cause I'm pretty sure I'll be one of the few that I know of that will be doing this style. Like there's nobody. There's a couple of spots that are also izakaya, but like, there's like a team of six or seven or some shit, you know? And they're like, I don't want to say corporate, but it's like bigger bigger spot. You know, the chef's not really there. It's whatever. It's just workers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
The whole premise is you're coming for me. And even on my social media, and I kind of just want to stab into this and see how you feel about it. And there's a whole lot of conversation about, you know, people are different on social media than their real life. I believe that I portray myself pretty close to if you were to meet me in person. Sure. That's how I really am on socials. And in my opinion, I really think I portray myself pretty genuinely. So when you finally do meet me, it's like, oh yeah, he's literally that guy. That's the way he talks. He's very loud. I laugh quite a bit at my own things. Very silly, but that is me, you know? How do you feel? Because like there's a couple, I want to say not creators, but there was a couple of people on socials where they open their own restaurants and then they're just kind of like a face, you know? And it's just like, oh, this is X and Y Z spot. Food is horrible, but they're there, you know, kind of a feel.
Yeah,
I don't want it to be like that. I mean, I know it's not going to be like that because I'm the driving force on it. But how do you feel on, I don't want to say fakeness, like how do you feel on the dual personalities, I want to say? Let's put it down.
I mean,
when you meet somebody.
I have a lot of different feelings about it. I mean, obviously, you know, you'd want people to kind of represent themselves accurately across like all interactions or, you know, like media presences. But like the reality is, it's like that's not always going to be it too. You know, some people are going to just be, you know, more marketable, right? They're going to represent a thing as opposed to actually being that. And, you know, if you are one of those people, and that's a skill, right? Like it's a skill. You know, definitely. It can be hard to kind of reconcile that when like the image doesn't like match the reality. But I do think at the end of the day, like it just comes down to the product, right? Because like,
yeah,
in across the board, right? Like businesses, corporations, you know, they look for the avatar, right? Like,
yeah,
you want to put like, well, even just let's use like McDonald's, right? Like McDonald's serves burgers and fries. Ronald McDonald, yada, yada, yada. The burger's consistent, right? Since the beginning till now, you know, with slight variations for, you know, for cultural sensitivities, the product is a product, right? But every once in a while, especially more recently, like they'll reach out to some avatar beyond like their core staples of like Ronald McDonald's and the Fry Kids. They'll go get a Travis Scott or Maluma or whoever to be the face and represent their brand in a particular way. But even as those faces change, as those avatars change, the thing that has to hold firm is the quality of the product. So, you know, I'm not going to hold it against influencer A who pretends to, I don't say, or pretends or represents themselves as like a foodie or a culinarian or a chef for not being able to like hold those chops in the kitchen if their brand or what they represent is a quality experience, right? Because they could just be they can represent that, you know, and provide access or, you know, opportunity to a good product that isn't getting that promotion. So again, like, you know, lots of people call themselves lots of things, you know.
Yeah,
the, you know, for a lack of better way to say it, like the proof is in the pudding, right? The pudding's got to be good. If it's not good, people gonna show up, you know. But yeah, but definitely. If you are a person, a brand, an identity that is representing yourself like accurately and you have a good product, you're going to really resonate with the people that like have experienced you without experiencing the product. And it's just only going to build upwards from there because people are going to know like, oh, I know Chef Casey from TikTok or Instagram or whatever, and he represents his food knowledge as such. And then I got to see Chef Casey in person at the Izakaya putting it down. And then I had the food and it all matched. And then they'll be their your brand ambassadors for anyone who's gonna listen or appreciate their opinions going forward. But like, you know, there's obviously you know, lots of ways for that, like, not to work out. But I think ultimately it really results on, like, the product that, like, someone takes with them, whether it's food, yeah, whether it's shit, whether makeup, whether it's whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, if Michael Jordan's dunking on fools, but, like, if you put on a pair of Michael Jordan sneakers and they fall apart, what is it? Like, doesn't matter. Like, they got to be resilient too, right? Like, you're not going to jump as high as he is. You know, you're not going to score 30 points a game. But you want to know that, like, MJ's the best. He's representing the best product. And that the product, when you take it and experience it on your own, it's also the best product or damn good. Right. Like, you want to feel like everything scaled up and it was worth the expense, or, you know, or it was worth whatever experience the product is supposed to impart. That's it.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I first bought the ones, Air Force ones. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, damn, these are cool. And then you wear them out, I'm like, I need to buy another pair. I still have two pairs. I will constantly buy it. I love that pair of sneakers, even though it's not the original anymore, but who cares? You know, I'm there for, because of, I guess, nostalgia too. You know, back then it was MJ. It's not like if Bird came out with a fucking shoe brand.
Yeah, I mean, they had them.
I remember that shit so bad.
A Converse shoe called the Weapon. It was called the Weapon. And if I'm not mistaken, it was co-branded. And Magic Johnson had a pair, and they were in the Lakers colors. And Larry Bird had a pair, and they were in the Celtics colors. And, you know, history is history, you know? But like I was saying, you know, even just thinking about, like, what the Jordan brand and Michael Jordan exists as, like, an avatar for a product, right? Like, it's quality and consistency, right? Michael Jordan ain't been playing basketball for like 20 years at this point. People are still out there on the streets buying Jordans, trying to,
NBA,
you know, imbue whatever experience that, like, you know, the marketing of the product is representing, right? And that's the thing. Like, you want to be just producing a product that matches the experience that you're trying to impart.
Yeah. So it's such a lot to think about. So many other things that I'm experiencing firsthand. I really feel, and this is why I'm also programming the space this way, that I'm off almost 3 days. If somebody wants to do the same thing I'm doing right now, I'm going to give them the opportunity. I really will. Cause like this is like the most surefire way to get to, like, your feet wet. Now, big ups to my owner and, you know, and allowing me to use a space like such, but, like, bro, it's like, it really is life-changing. You get to see everything firsthand in such a small little, I don't want to say market, but, like, you get your feet wet really good. Yeah. And you get to repeat the sets over and over. I was like, oh, okay, this is what I need to do, blah, blah, blah. This is how I pay this, X, Y, Z. Oh, a credit card slip. Yeah, this is what I need to fill out, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, at first I'm like, yo, this is so much shit. I was like, what? I thought you just, like, send shit out. But nah, man, there's many loops to this. So I don't know, Sean. Just trying to change the game. One ramen shop at a time.
One bowl at a time. And like I said, if it doesn't work out, I'll be happy to come into that space behind you and open up my ramen sushi gift store. You can leave all the pictures in place. I already know what I got.
That's hilarious. Oh my goodness. Dude, how is your work, by the way? I know you're still in the same.
Yeah, yeah. I'm, you know, still working space. For the same place.
How it is been, it?
It's been over a year.
Ebbs and flows now, right? You kind of know what needs to be done.
Yeah, ebbs and flows, you know. The dust has settled in some respects, but, you know, as a company, we kind of, you know, march forward. You know, whenever I talk about work, it's always going to just be in like generalities. But just in general, I'll just talk about like an experience that I just had, right? So, my company as a whole kind of got together for like a big conference, and it's like, it was really cool. My company was part like of a merger. So like, this was like the first time that like the larger company got together in mass. since I work remotely, most of my coworkers I have not met in person. I've met a few, especially the ones that are like in the New York area. But it was like really, really cool to like meet folks and connect with folks and, you know, able to, like I was saying before, like accurately represent myself, right? You know, when we work through the media, you know, through webcams, like you can only represent yourself in a certain way, right? And you get kind of limited by the technology, you know, you're limited by, you know, the reach, you're limited by, or I wouldn't say governed by, like, you know, the work you do or the quality of your work. And I do think it was like really, really crucial to kind of like go out, meet these folks, you know, have them become more like literally more 3D, you know, hear voices, understand tone, you know, understand personalities. And on the other side of that trip, man, like I'm invigorated. Like it's, again, you know, coming from the work that, you know, I used to do with you, everything's like in person, like all of these things that like you have to navigate, you navigate different things, but like the human element is different because like you're there. Like I can see you and see if you're having like a bad day. If you're having an issue with like the work, like you might be able to like walk over to me and, you know, ask a question a little bit easier, or see that like it might not be the time to ask a question, as opposed to like, you know, working remotely, you know, you're doing things through like Slack, or you're doing things through scheduled, you know, meetings, and, you know, given a lot of other things that are like happening at the company at the same time, like, you know, it's like heightened tension and heightened attention toward like this, like big overarching goal that we're trying to like kind of hit. But, you know, as we march to it and everyone understands that they're like literally marching through the mud to kind of get over, get climb that hill. It was good to just like connect with the folks, you know? And yeah, definitely realized that there are like people that like I work with and talk with all the time that live 10 minutes from me that I thought were like on the other side of the country. So, you know, again, it's opportunities right there just to like, you know, to like connect and build and collaborate in different ways, or collaborate in the same ways, but like, know that, hey, you know, an exclamation point is just an exclamation point and not a shout, right? Like, you know, because the media, man, that's right? Funny. So, yeah. And outside of this, I'm going to throw back to like when we originally were doing our podcast and I used to talk about like tech stuff a little bit. One of the coolest things that happened, like, in humanity happened like last night. And like if you're not aware, the DART probe had to like fly out into space and intercept an asteroid moon.
Cool as shit.
Which is ridiculous. Like it is ridiculous that like humanity is able to like pull that off, right? Like we can all be just kind of caught up in all of the little things that we're doing. I mean, I was joking with a friend yesterday. I was like, yo, man, someone right now is having a conversation talking about like there's nothing on TV. And I'm just like, yo, do you see what like humanity is doing? like is ridiculous. Like folks can't hit a strike with a bowling ball and pins that don't move, but like we're intercepting, you know, an asteroid moon. With a probe that's traveling 22,000 miles per hour, millions of miles away, like the moonshot literally to like, you know, do that as a proof of concept to defend ourselves from, you know, the potential of some like global devastations in the far off future is like amazing. So yeah, man, the world is an amazing place full of all of these opportunities, whether it's starting your own izakaya or reenacting Armageddon. Like, yo, man, like we're just capable of like so many things. And man, you know, you just got to have like the opportunity and the backing. You do your homework, make sure you know that math is right, and shoot your shot, and shit, you might just hit it. You might just hit it. But yeah, like if anyone listening to this is like not aware of what I'm talking about, we're recording this on the 27th. This happened last night on the 26th of September. You know, fire up your new service of choice and read about news, like what's happening. Yeah. I mean, it is crazy. Someone is protecting us against something. Because no one is spending that money for the off chance that this ain't gonna happen. You're so right. Shout out to the dinosaurs. You didn't have NASA. We got NASA.
You didn't have to do it.
You didn't have to do it. You couldn't see it. It
needs to last a couple more years.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You'll figure it out, maybe. Little big dinosaur heads, little brains. You'll figure something out. But you know,
that's hilarious.
We making this stuff happen collectively.
All right, my guy. I don't know. Are we okay on time? Are you good? Is 40 minutes?
Yeah. We're about to. We should wrap up. I gotta start my work day. Okay. But yeah, bro.
So I have one more thing for you. I know. I hate to say this, but in the near future, when I say future, in like 3 months or so, I might switch back to the Apple.
Hey, one of us. Come back to that blue bubble life, man. Every time I get a green bubble text, I just feel bad.
I will abuse all the green bubbles till I get it, John. Okay, I will keep on spamming your fucking phone with green bubbles. Oh, because Apple just needs to fucking update the firmware. Everybody's playing the same fucking thing.
They've established the experience. They've established it.
They just want the blue.
They drew a line in the sand, colored it blue, and everyone on the other side is sending. You don't even know if your text messages get there. I do. What happens when you send a message? You don't know. Just a green blob just floating out there. Oh, in the ether. Who knows?
Look. I hate it, but okay, it's like, it's not that I hate my phone, okay? And I love Android products because of the customizability of it. Like, just, sure. I can fully customize. It's like my PC, right?
Okay.
But the absolute shit bugs that it just happens to have, specifically on Pixel phone, okay? I'm trashing this Pixel phone right now. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't want to work. I'm like, why? It should be flawless. On all Google apps, flawless, absolutely not. Just kaputs, you know? And in my brain, I'm just like, if I only had an Apple phone, this wouldn't happen.
Wouldn't even be dealing and with it's it annoying. At all. Yeah.
I hate thinking that way, Sean. I love my Pixel, but.
It's all right. Look, man, they're making it even easier. The Apple orientation setup is even easier. You can just move over your stuff. You're just gonna send you like a QR code or whatever to your Pixel phone, and if your phone can read it, you just move all over your settings in one shot.
The phone can read it,
I mean, I don't know what app is over there. I don't know. Again,
okay. So here's the last thing too. Right. Apple is also now doing USB-C soon.
Yeah. Right?
See, just saying, Sean. You know,
it's an olive branch.
Just saying.
You know, dictated by European law.
it's
otherwise, they would be like, look, we got this lightning
over.
And it's weird. And it'll probably break. That's the only thing I don't like about Apple phones. But they're rectifying that by force.
Are they, though? No.
Look. You might have to go through a few lightning cables on your way to charging your phone.
A few.
But it'll work otherwise.
You're right. Yeah, it is. It is the game of the game of the socials. I want to say as efficient. I need to be efficient at what I do. Mm-hmm. And I feel if the tech isn't what it needs to be, you shouldn't be so in love with it that you won't have a better experience at something. In my opinion. As hurtful as that statement is, I'm telling you, I might have to switch to a different phone to be more efficient than it. But I'm thinking just the 13, not the 14.
Yeah, I was just going to say that 13 or 14, they're feature like and functionally identical. I think they even have like pretty much the same like chipset and guts. RAM might be a little different here or there, but like, yeah, like I said, it's there for you. Whatever price you want to pay is right there. It'll be right there for you. I promise. How many more cameras do you need? That's what we're talking about at this point, anyway. You need 8 cameras on the back.
You just need the one.
You just right.
You just need the one. But it just makes it the flow of things makes it easier.
So. No, I got you. I definitely
as much as that. I dread saying that, it seems that can I also I know I keep saying can I when I told Caitlin I was like babe I think I might switch to an Apple I didn't even finish it she's like yes tired right. of you being bubble shit
exactly
her first fucking words to me I'm like babe wow want to talk about it like
what a great ploy and us versus them. Just in messaging alone.
Yeah. Red versus blue, bro. Or green versus blue, I should say. Green versus blue. Right? My G, always a pleasure, sir. Tony.
Yeah.
With everybody. For everybody else, obviously, links down below.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm off tomorrow.
Hey. By the way.
There's nobody there. There's zilch. So we closed. I was like, great. I actually have a day off. Awesome.
Enjoy it. You deserve it.
Other than that, people, we love y'all.
Yeah. Peace out.